This is a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation.
My name is Rowena Dowling. I'm president of Dog Guide Handlers Australia. I'm pleased to be speaking today with Mr. Ray Joyce, who's the recipient of the Judith Killen Golden Harness Award. Welcome, Ray, and congratulations.
Thank you.
For those people who may not be aware of what the award is, a little bit of background. Judith Killen was a vision-impaired lady who lived in Perth. She was a dog guide handler. She passed away in 2011, and the Judith Killen Memorial Golden Harness Award is to honour her memory, and we present it to a person who has made an outstanding contribution towards fostering, representing, promoting, enhancing and protecting the interests of Australians who are blind or vision impaired and who are dog guide handlers. So it is with great pleasure that we present the Golden Harness Award to Ray Joyce. And thank you, Ray, for being here to speak with me today. And once again, congratulations on receiving the award. And it's in recognition of your more than 50 years working as a guide dog trainer and mobility instructor. And we are delighted to present this award to you today.
Thank you very much. It's overwhelming. I do remember Judith Killen, and with quite a deal of pleasure. She was a lovely person.
Indeed she was. She was a great advocate for people with vision impairment. Incidentally, she was also one of the founding members of Dog Guide Handlers Australia, and she was our first president of the association as well. So we were very pleased to have her involved. And in one of my conversations with her, I remember her talking about Ray Joyce, who trained her with her last guide dog. So you obviously, you know, have trained so many dogs and so many people around Australia that you probably can't count them anymore. And that's a wonderful achievement. We congratulate you on that. So, Ray, I'd love you just to tell us a little bit about yourself to start off with for those people who may not know you.
Yes, I have lost count of the number of dogs I've trained and the number of people I've trained with them. Just my start is that I was born on a farm in Lang Lang in Gippsland with parents and two brothers. And we spent quite a lot of time on the farm and thoroughly enjoyed it. We were educated at Lang Lang and at Cooey Rupp. And my brother and I went to Caulfield Tech School to finish our education. So we had a great life at Lang Lang. An important part is that my brother and I became Queen Scouts, which was very significant in getting into guide dogs. And when I applied, both the CEO and the head trainer were scouters, and so they knew what Queen Scouts meant.
So very interesting bit of your family history. What first motivated you to get into dog guide training?
Well, on the farm we had a galah in a cage at the back door, and he used to copy all the sounds around. He could copy my father waking up in the morning and coughing and then washing his face and coming out, and then the dogs would be all around the back of the house ready to go, and he'd send them off. And of course the dogs would run about 100 yards and turn, and as if to say, do you want us to go all the way? And my father would finish the call, you see, and off they'd go, and they'd be set off. Now, the galah had this right down to a T, and the dogs would run off during the middle of the day at inappropriate time. The bird didn't know to call them the second time, and so they wouldn't go around the cows, which was good. Now, I thought, if a galah could do that, maybe I could work with dogs in a very sophisticated way. And so I had three jobs before the guide dog one. And I wasn't terribly happy with the way things were going, so I thought, I saw this ad and I applied and was successful. So it all started then, in 1962.
Right. That is amazing. Wow, what an illustrious start to your career. Can you tell us the places that you've worked in your long career? I know you've worked for a number of guide dog schools around Australia. Can you just share with us where you've worked over the years?
The whole concept of guide dogs really impressed me. I was really quite keen to get started when it happened. Now, I've been very lucky to have worked in Victoria for the first section of my career, which was, a wonderful place to work. And then when I did my O&M training, I was required, everybody that did it was required to work elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sent to Adelaide, where your conference is. And I was there for, a few years, something like 6 or 8 years, and did a lot of work around there. And I used to get teased that the clients in the Barossa Valley got the better service, for obvious reasons. But that wasn't the case, of course.
Yeah, okay. Oh, lovely.
So I met a lot of good clients there. And it covered almost the whole state. I didn't do much down to Western Australia.
Before your retirement, I know that you also worked for Guide Dogs New South Wales, Australian Capital Territory, which is where I first came into contact with you. So you have a long and varied career and different experiences.
We did a fair bit of work down there at Canberra. But I was also sent to Sydney as a posting, and I was there right till my retirement. But during the earlier years, I was very fortunate to get two clients from Hawaii. I was required to go with the client, as you usually do, and teach the dog the client's requirements in their home area. So that was a wonderful, experience out of the boundaries of Australia, and it worked really well.
That is an amazing experience. I was not aware that they had guide dogs in Hawaii, so that is amazing. Ray, I have a vivid memory of myself training with you with my first guide dog for escalator training, and I know this is one of the areas that you were involved in developing escalator training. Could you tell us a bit about that and maybe share any other of the many memories you must have of the interesting moments of training dogs and people during your career?
Just before I get onto that, I'll just tell you something else. It was fortunate that the dogs were trained with the handle on the left-hand side. So when they went to the American states, they were left-hand drive, fitted in very well.
Oh, yes.
Now, before we actually began training people on escalators, we did a thorough investigation of it and worked out a strategy where dogs could be introduced to escalators and to avoid the mechanical fear, or the fear of mechanical things in animals. The manager and I did a lot of work in working out the best ways to go about it, and that was put into print. And so we went from there, and it turned out to be quite successful. It really, really quite well.
Oh. But certainly made the lives of guide dog handlers easier in this modern world where escalators are in common usage.
Yes,
that's one of your claims to fame. I know that you have also been involved in developing some innovative devices to assist people who are blind or vision impaired who are dog guide handlers. To mention a couple would be the pram toe and the toileting harness. Can you tell us about those and any other things that you've been involved in developing?
Well, the very first one was the toileting apparatus, which was nicknamed the Doggy Doo.
Doggy Doo, yes.
And I worked out a sort of an apparatus out of rope, like a soft rope, and which you often see in window cords. And I sort of developed that around the dog, and then I had to sort of teach dogs to wear it and to actually use it and reward them for it and so on. And that worked out quite well. In fact, some clients are still using it.
They definitely do, yes.
Yeah. It's very handy in certain situations where you can be caught out and you need to whip it on. Now, the second one was called the pram toe. Some young clients decided to become mothers, and there was a need there to have a look at all the different designs of prams and work out the most suitable for this idea. And so I went through a whole lot of shops and found the right sort of prams for this idea. Mm. Now, the idea, of course, is that clients can't push a pram in front, so we had to design an idea that that pram could be drawn behind them, that's the person, and the dog to work with enough room for both of them. And so I designed a gadget that connected the person to the pram so that they didn't have to hold it with their hand. There were some situations where it was helpful to hold it, going up and down curbs and anything like that. You'd need to steady it and to make sure it was quite safe. And so that took off. And people were using that for quite a while. And then I thought, well, we'd better upgrade it. So I thought about redesigning it, and which I did. And that's the one that's been, carried on since then.
It's indeed a device that is still used today.
Yeah.
And it's made such a difference to blind or vision impaired parents. So
yes,
I'm sure they'll be forever grateful for that innovative design.
And the third one was the shopping trolley toe. Now, clients have to have their hands free, except when you're using the dog. The free hand has to be kept for opening doors and gates and holding children if they've got any. So the shopping trolley toe has to be drawn from behind the person like the pram. Now, when you draw the handle of the normal shopping trolley, it'll just tilt forward, and you've got to hold it up.
Mm.
And so I had to work out a way of having it tilt forward but lock in the angle that it's drawn with, because it just attaches to the person's belt or back. And so that was quite a challenge, and that worked quite well. And I think there's still quite a few clients using that.
Indeed, yes. As you know, a person who's living with vision loss has many challenges in life, and all of these devices that you've designed have made, those aspects of life easier. So it's a commendable effort, and we do thank you for your innovative ideas over your career.
Well, it was very fortunate that they were accepted and taken on board, because a lot of places you can push ideas and they're not interested. So they were very, very helpful in that regard.
Indeed. One of our session topics at the conference, Ray, is emerging trends and techniques in assistance dog training. I guess that you've seen many changes in the methods of dog training over the years, and I'm just wondering if you could outline a few of the changes that you might have seen in your career.
Well, everyone knows that there's about 21 different characteristics in the testing of them, and I don't think that's changed very much, that part of it. But what has changed is that dogs over the years have we've sought more sensitive sort of dogs. It's very difficult when you get a tough dog and you've got to treat it quite roughly and so forth. So we've sought to have sensitive dogs that respond to the voice, and they're easy, much more easy to manage. Now, there are a few little difficulties that come with that. Sensitive dogs can be upset easier and will be more perhaps afraid or easy frightened and things like that. So you've got to really manage that quite well, and they work really well. They're much easier to handle and go with and so on.
Yes. So, selecting dogs with a different temperament, I guess, to what they did decades ago.
Yes, that's right. We're always seeking... perhaps I can talk a little bit on the breeding. We draw semen from America and from England and from Japan, and seeking the type of temperament that we really need. And we send them copies of ours. And once you've used them and you have a dog that's from that particular semen, then we keep that as a breeder. And we then can use that, the result of that semen, for over quite a period of time, which is really very useful, very, very a good idea.
Well, thank you, Ray. I'd like to thank you for making time to speak with me. The reason this interview has been recorded is because Ray is unable to join us at our conference in Adelaide in October. I believe you'll be away on a cruise, so we wish you a wonderful experience with your family and friends and
I'll
a safe return to Australia.
I'll try and think of you while I'm on the flight.
Thank you. And, Ray, in conclusion, I'd just like to say on behalf of all of your colleagues and for all people who are blind or vision impaired around Australia who are dog guide handlers, we applaud, commend and congratulate you on your 52 years of training dogs and people, and a special thank you for the difference that you've made in the lives of people who are blind or vision impaired who are dog guide handlers. And once again, congratulations on receiving the Judith Killen Memorial Golden Harness Award from Dog Guide Handlers Australia.
Thank you so much. It's been a great pleasure over that period.
It's been
of
our
time.
Pleasure indeed, Ray. Thank you.
This has been a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation. If you would like further information on Dog Guide Handlers Australia or like to listen to further audio, please go to our website www.dgha.org.au. Thank you. Do you always have to have the last word?